I've had two experiences recently that have gotten me to thinking. One of them was, y'all remember Tolik and Alyona when they came here from Ukraine, and they stayed with Steve and me for a couple of weeks. And one night we were sitting out at the fire pit in our backyard just talking, and it was just Tolik and I out there, and Tolik and me, I guess, is the correct terminology. He had, the day before, I think, in passing, heard about Steve's tragedy in his life. And somehow, even though they had stayed with us before, he had never heard our story. And so somebody had told him, I can't remember how it all happened, but somebody had told him about Steve when he was 18 years old. He was in a car wreck, and he was the only survivor. His mother and father and his grandmother all were killed. And then when Steve and I got married, and then we had a son named Samuel, and when he was 16 months old, he died suddenly of encephalitis. And then a couple of years later, we had another son, and he was born with a kidney disease, and he died an hour after he was born. And somehow, Tolik didn't know this. And so somebody had told him that, and he's sitting there talking to me the next day, and he's like, I just don't understand it. He said, I don't, he said, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, he was truly disturbed. And he said, I look at Steve and I see this deep abiding joy inside of him. And he said, I don't understand it. I mean, this is a missionary we're talking about. You know, somebody that shares God's word for a living, and he's seriously concerned about Steve and all that he's been through. And so Steve comes walking outside, and he's sitting out there, so I shared with Steve a little bit of what Tolik was saying, and he said, well, you know, because Tolik was saying, how do you do it? How do you survive all of that? Not just one thing, but then another thing, and then another thing, and how does your faith stay intact? How do you keep believing in this good God? And Steve said, well, you know, sometimes it's kind of like John chapter 6, where Jesus had given out some hard sayings. He had this multitude following him, and he had said some very difficult things. And so most of the people had said, this is a hard saying, we can't handle this, and they began to go away from Jesus. And Jesus looks at his disciples in John chapter 6, verse 66, and he says, do you want to go away too? And Peter's response to him is, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And that's what Steve told Tolik that night. He said, you know, sometimes you just have to say to people, where am I going to go? Because I have come to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he alone has the words of eternal life. And so no matter what happens in my life, it doesn't change that fact. And so it doesn't change my faith in who he is. And Tolik was still just shaking his head. But that was the first experience like that. And then a couple of weeks ago, I had a friend that I haven't seen in several years, and she called me. She's moved away to Dublin, and she was here during mine and Steve's life and the loss of our children, all that kind of stuff. And so she had lived through that with us. And so she called me and she said, can you meet me for lunch? I'm in town. And so I said, sure. So I went and met her for lunch. And she asked me how I was doing. She asked me about my kids and my family. And so I began to share a little bit. And she said, I don't get it. She said, I've got friends that are in situations like you, and they're losing their faith and giving up. She said, they've been Christians all their lives. And she said, I don't mean just, you know, cultural Christians or nominal Christians. She said, I'm talking about devout followers of Jesus. And she said, now that they're older and their children are just walking away from the faith, she said, they're losing theirs. She said, I don't get it. What is it about you and Steve? She said, I don't get it because I see this every day. She said, how do you go through what you've been through and yet you keep believing? You've got a daughter that's left the faith. How do you keep believing? And I gave her the same answer that Steve gave Tolik, but I thought about it a little bit more over the past week, and I realized there's more to it than that. I mean, yes, that is true, but there's more to it than that. Steve and I are no better than anyone else. There are certainly days when I want to walk away. There are days when I'm so confused that I can't see straight. There are days when I would rather die than live. And to be honest with you, I live in a perpetual state of grief. And if you've ever grieved someone, you know what I'm talking about. It's that feeling in your gut of fear. You know, it's not there all the time, but it just hits you out of the blue. And it's just a feeling of fear. And you just want to bend over like somebody's kicked you in the gut because you think, I can't deal with this. But there's one thing that I know that I must do if I'm going to stand in the storms of life, and that's what I just wanted to share with you this morning. And that is Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 25. I must build my life upon His Word. I must build my life upon His Word. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, and this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, which Paul is in a series teaching that. This is after he said all that Paul has been sharing with us that he said. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. One version says, the rains fell, the floods came, and the wind slammed against that house. Do you ever feel like the wind is slamming against your house? Jesus says, if you will build your life upon my words, when the rains fall and the floods come and the wind slams against your house, it will not fall because it has been founded upon the rock. It has been founded upon a firm foundation. But we have to really build on what He says. We have to do what He says. We can't say, well, that doesn't seem right, or that doesn't make sense to me, so I'm not going to do it. That's not what Jesus is talking about. For example, years and years ago, this was before we had kids, this was before anything, I had a little sister in the Big Sister, Little Sister program in the county. She was 14. She was a mess. She got pregnant. It was just a mess. And I asked Steve, can she come live with us? Now, if y'all know my husband, he's an introvert. He's not comfortable around strangers. And so this was a huge thing for him. I mean, some people are like, yeah, just let anybody come in, you know, strangers and all. Some people don't have a problem with that. Some people do. And so when I asked Steve, he was very uncomfortable with it. And I don't remember if he said no at first or what. But he came home one day from work and he said, I was reading Matthew 25 today, the parable about the sheep and the goats. And he said, and I don't want to be a goat. And so she can come. That's what it means to build your life upon the words of Jesus. It means to look into His Word and to see what He thinks about a situation, and then you do what He would have you do instead of what your flesh wants you to do, instead of what you want to do, instead of what you're comfortable with. You do what He says to do, and you trust Him for the rest of it. When bad things happen and we wonder how we're going to survive, we read God's Word. And we believe it and we find encouragement. We read his promise that his grace is sufficient, and we believe that it is and it always has been. Recently, I was in such a state over a situation that I couldn't sleep, and I was literally pulling my hair out. Now, I know y'all are going to think, she is a crazy woman. I am a crazy woman, okay? I told Steve this week, I said, I am certifiably crazy. But if you have ever been in such deep pain that you are pulling your hair out, you know what I'm talking about. You are just dying. And I got in the bed, and it was in the middle of the night. I was up, I was walking around, I couldn't sleep, and I got in the bed. It's 2:00 in the morning, and I'm just laying there crying, and Steve just reached over. I said, I can't sleep. I can't handle this. I cannot handle this. And he reached out and he put his arm on my arm and he prayed for me and he said, Sandra, we have been through situations like this many times, and God's grace has always been sufficient for us, and he will be sufficient for us through this. And it was like peace just flooded my soul. And I was able to go to sleep. But that's because we know the Word of God. And because we know that he has promised that he will be with us. Steve could say that because he knows the Word of God. And he has heard God say to him from Isaiah, I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And we have built our lives upon that word. This world and well-meaning friends and loved ones will offer you all kinds of ways to deal with life. But if you want to build a life that will not fall down, you will have to build it upon God's word. His word is the only thing that will stand forever. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 7 and 8, it says, the grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You know, I love the song, Build My Life. I find myself singing it quite frequently. And this is not a criticism of that song, so please don't anybody take it as it, maybe it is, but still I love it, and I know you love it too, okay? And I'm not trying to diss your song if that's your favorite song, because I love it too. I sing it all the time. But I think it would be more biblically accurate, instead of saying, and I will build my life upon your love, it is a firm foundation. If it said, and I will build my life upon your word, it is a firm foundation. Amy Grant's song, Saved by Love, is the same. They used to do the same thing to me. I like the song. I understand what she means by it. But I can't find anywhere in the Bible that says that we're saved by love. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved because of love. It was because of love that God sent his son. But we're not saved by love. We're saved by grace through faith. God loves the whole world, but his love doesn't save everybody. And it just concerns me that when we start saying that we're saved by love, or we'll build our life upon his love, and that's the firm foundation that we build our life upon, we need to understand what we're saying by that. Does that make sense? Maybe I'm making a big deal out of nothing. I don't know. But Jesus said, many will call him Lord, Lord, in that day. In that passage that I'm reading, Matthew chapter 7, And I apologize for not having the things. I was at the beach all week. I drove home yesterday and wrote my sermon in the car, so I didn't. And then our power went off. This sounds like an excuse, but it really did. I sat down to work on my sermon last night on the computer, to put it all together on the computer, and the power went off. So we just went out to eat, but anyway. Because, you know, you can't stay in a house when the power's off and it's 98 degrees outside, right? So, okay, all right. Anyway, Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And then he says, "Therefore, everyone who builds, who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock." We want to build our house upon the rock of his word. That's where we want to build our house. Because contrary to the popular saying that love wins, love does not always win. As we all know, love does not always win. The word of the Lord endures forever. I liked, I didn't know that we were going to sing "How Firm a Foundation" this morning, but I liked that we did, because I was reminded of the words of this hymn: "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen and help thee and cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of woe shall not thee overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake." Every line in that hymn comes straight out of Scripture. Every line in that hymn: "How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word." If we want to build a life that will not fall, no matter what life hits it, and let me tell you, life is going to hit it with things that we will not be able to stand in our own strength. But if we've built our life on the word of God, we will stand. We will stand. The only way to follow Jesus is to build your life on his word. Otherwise, we are just doing what seems right or feels right to us, and that's never a good guide. Because when we do that, whether we realize it or not, we have become our own God. Do you realize that? When we are building our life on something other than God's word, then we're just building our life on what we think, or on who we agree with, what somebody else has said that we think sounds good. And so we have become our own God, because we have decided what is good and what is true and what is right for us. So I want to ask you this morning, what word of God do you need this morning to be building your life on? Maybe it's where Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." You know, if we are going to build our house, our life, on his word, then we got to take that seriously. We've got to forgive others. We've got to love our enemies. We've got to pray for those who persecute us. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to think of others more highly than ourselves. We've got to do what he says. But the good thing about it is, if we would just do it, we've got his promise. You know, we think it's hard to do these things that he's asked us to do. But what we've got to understand is if we just do it, we don't have to hold our house up. We live this life thinking that we got to hold our house up. We got to keep it together. We got to fight the storms. No, he says, if you will build your life on my word, I will make sure that your house does not fall. So what word do you need this morning? Maybe you're like me and you need to hear Lamentations 3. Yesterday when I was driving, well, Steve was driving, I wasn't driving, but for 7 hours I was just searching the scripture. I was just praying. I was just listening to God. And I read Lamentations 3. It's Jeremiah. It's the weeping prophet. He's in a terrible place. God's put him there. He's in a terrible place. He's depressed. He's low. He says, remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. Is your soul bowed down within you? And then he says, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. You need hope this morning? You need to build your life on this word of God. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. They are new every morning. For his compassions never fail. Great is thy faithfulness. Do you need to be reminded to build your house this morning on the fact that great is his faithfulness, that his mercies are new every morning, that his compassions never fail, that his loving kindness never ceases? I know I do. I need to build my life upon that word. Maybe you need to build your life upon Jeremiah 32 this morning, where it says, in verse 17, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing, nothing is too difficult for you. Is there something in your life that you feel like is too difficult for God? And so you've kind of walked away from it. You've given up on it. You said, oh, well, there's nothing I can do. This relationship, this whatever, I don't know. Do you need to build your life on the word from Jeremiah 32:17? Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm, and nothing, nothing is too difficult for you. I know I do. I need to build my life upon that word. I mean, there are thousands of words in here that we need to build our life on so that our house does not fall, because the rains will fall, the floods will come, and the wind will slam. But we have his promise. If we will build our life upon his word, our house will stand. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we have your promise and you cannot lie. We thank you that you are a God whose loving kindnesses never cease, whose mercies are new every morning, whose compassions never fail, who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, who has all power, who created the heavens and the earth, who spoke them into being, and who there is nothing that is too difficult for you. That what is impossible with man is possible for you. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves before you this morning. And we just pray that you would move in a mighty way in each of our lives, in our circumstances, in our families, in our church, in this community, in this nation, and in the world. Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, that you would be glorified in this place and in each of our lives, in our homes, in our families. God, we pray, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, you say that if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And Lord, we ask for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this place and in each of our lives, that we might live for your glory, that we might have that joy and that peace and that love and that goodness and that faithfulness and that kindness and that gentleness and that self-control that is yours. Because, Lord, we just confess to you, we don't have it. We don't have it. We don't have anything. And like the friend that came to the friend in the middle of the night because he had nothing to offer his friend. And he banged on the door and banged on the door. Lord, we bang on the door and we ask you to give us what we need in order to be able to serve and to live this life. And your word tells us that because of his persistence, he got up and he gave him everything that he needed, and you will do the same. That's what your word says, Lord. That's what your word says, that if we ask and we keep on asking, we will receive. If we seek and we keep on seeking, we will find. And if we knock and we keep on knocking, the door will be opened. And we stand upon that word, Lord. And we give you thanks for that word. And Lord, we just pray that you would move mightily and there would be great testimony in this place of the things that you have done, and you would receive much praise and much glory. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.